Scanning. Identity authorized. Welcome to the Secret Superhero Club Podcast Network.
Hear you lead today and enter the world of Hilt Radio. We'll take you on an epic journey through the magic of all things Disney, Marvel, and Star Wars, from the movies to the box and everything in between. It's time to take you to Disney and beyond with your hosts, Brittany and Liam DeCosimo.
And let me too.
Welcome back to another episode of Hilt Radio. As here you leave today and enter a world of yesterday, tomorrow, and fantasy. And to take you on this adventure through the greatest and latest from the House of Mouse, the House of Ideas, and a galaxy far, far away is myself, your host, Liam.
I'm Brittany.
And oh my gosh, we have just recently returned from our very epic adventure to the one and only Galaxy's Edge, as it opened just this past weekend in Disneyland out here in Anaheim, California. Unfortunately for all you Floridians and East Coasters that were not able to make that journey, you'll have to wait until this fall until you'll get to experience your own Galaxy's Edge. But it should be pretty much exactly like our Galaxy's Edge.
Yeah, they said it's pretty spot on.
Other than maybe perhaps a bit more humid. That would pretty much be the only
change. That would
probably
be more accurate, too.
Well, I think it would depend on what planet you're aiming for. If it's dry heat Tatooine, then we're spot on.
But yeah,
if they're trying
to
go for more of that muggy Felucian type feel, then yeah, by all means, then
we'll see.
Florida is the way to go. But perfect. So we'll talk a whole bunch of different stuff. Everything from our first impressions as we walked in, our experiences waiting in the queues, in the lines, as well as some of the wares and fares that you're able to purchase inside the 14-acre expansion that Disney has added. And then we'll talk about some of the things that we picked up, some of the toys, some of the collectibles, our experience when it comes to the one and only ride that is open right now is Smuggler's Run. And then I think if given enough time, if we have enough time, we may even do a Fire When Ready at the end of the show. So, Bimo, are you excited?
Yes, let's do this.
All right, so T1, take us on in.
Yes, sir. Loading Fandemonium.
All right, all right. So this was, honestly, this has been a journey years in the making at this point. When you think about was it D23 when they first announced that they were going to be doing Star Wars Land?
Yes, but it wasn't in 2015.
Yeah, wasn't it 2015 when they announced?
Yes.
Or at least we heard rumblings that they were looking to do this type of expansion.
Mm-hmm.
So you figure from that point all the way until the 2017, where we actually got to see the models laid out, and you would know exactly just how expansive this 14-acre
They had a whole section
edition
for Galaxy's Edge at D23. Remember? Like, you had to wait in a line just to be able to see the land, what it was going to look like.
And it was crazy because they had all these different employees, but they were all the Imagineers that were working on it. And they were so well-versed in the lingo and the specifics. Like, you could ask all these questions and they knew the exact answers. So it was crazy to me how on the ball and how developed this was even years ago before actually seeing its unveiling this past weekend. So it was really cool for this, the only way to get in the park for this section of the park is to have a reservation. So they had opened this up a couple weeks ago, and we were fortunate enough to have your cousin be able to get 8 a.m. on Friday morning, day one, minute one reservations.
Right.
And then over the last week, we had heard a bunch of different rumblings like, oh, they were going to open the parking structure at midnight. They were going to allow you to start lining up outside the gates at 2 a.m. They were going to start letting people in at 6 so you could line up at launch bay to actually get checked in and get your wristband. And then they were going to allow you to actually walk into Galaxy's Edge at 8 a.m., like at rope drop, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
So we kind of had a bunch of different plans on, oh, well, how are we going to do this? What's going to make the most sense? And at one point, it was even going to involve me driving to Mickey and Friends at midnight and sleeping in the car till 2 a.m. so I could go and get a place in line. And then you guys would come and join me closer to 6, but, you know, before they were going to start letting us in. And that plan fell apart pretty quickly.
Well, it was so unnecessary. Disney kept saying, you don't need, if you have an 8 a.m. reservation, if you have a reservation, you don't need to wait. You just don't. We have this covered. We got the reservations down. They were confident in what they were telling the guest. So the fact that Disney put out there that you do not have to, and imagine if you did or if you didn't and then it turned out that you did have to wait, how pissed people would be.
Right.
That would be negative reviews automatically. So they knew what they were doing. They figured out this reservation system. So I think that was probably the toughest thing they had to do, was figure out this reservation period. And we didn't even have to be there as early as we were.
No, not at all. We rolled in probably like what?
6?
No, it was like 5:30. We left the house, like your cousin's house, a little bit after 5. I think we got there at 5:30. Or we parked in Toy Story.
I think we got to the structure around 5:30. And then by the time we got in, it was like close to 5:45-ish. It was like right before 6 o'clock when we finally got in. I'm like, oh, look at us, right on time.
And we got let right in. Like it was, they were opened was the gates no before
lines.
6. Yeah.
I mean, there was lines if you waited at 2 a.m. like a crazy.
Yeah.
Because you were waiting.
But how frustrating,
you didn't need to.
How frustrating would that have been to have lined up at 2 and then still be sitting there waiting, and then seeing people being able to just roll up right before 6 and just roll right in and be like, I've been here for 4 hours.
I mean, it's the experience. I think it goes with the whole Star Wars fandom of waiting at midnight or, you know, the night before for the next day's showing and all that fun stuff. I think it's just a normal Star Wars fan thing to do, but we are in a time where we don't have to do that anymore. Everything is reserved. Everything is ticketed. They are trying to limit these types of things because some people get out of hand and some people don't appreciate that experience anymore. And it kind of ruins it for other people.
What was really interesting, though, with this is that even with us not staying or lining up so many hours in advance and kind of rolling in right before the gates, I mean, the gates were already open because people were already in. But we walked in and there was already a line of people outside of Tomorrowland that were people that were just there to get merch.
Yep.
They were did not
Which
have their passes
also
or
unnecessary.
Anything. Yeah. So they lined up. They're like, I want to be the first one to get merch. I got to get as much as I can. So we got into the line to kind of walk into launch bay. We probably waited 20 minutes, let's say, in line, like actually going through the line.
Yep.
Got our wristbands, no problem. We were really worried, and I think we've talked about this on a previous episode, that your cousin had put down Brittany and Liam.
Yeah.
But it's not our birth names. So, you know, that's what kind of made it a little bit worrisome for us, because we were like, well, are they even going to let us in if our because you had to bring your ID. So if our ID didn't match what was, you know, listed on the reservation, our concern was we weren't even going to be able to get in. So luckily we knew that Remy, oh, looks like Remy's coming to join me on the mic. So we knew that Remy's pass was going to work because he had his, Rem, you had your Disney pass, so you were able to get into Disneyland with no problems. And then your reservation was the same, so it still said Remy, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then what was really cool was because Mom and I were so worried that, like, oh my gosh, what are we going to do if they're not going to let us in? We were like, well, we can send Remy with Chris and Ryan, so that way you could at least still go to Star Wars Land. So that still would have been fun, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Would you have gone on all the rides and played with all the toys?
But when I think when I ride, the ride that I'm always going on is, so we can, the one I always go is on Jungle Cruise and Astro Blaster and, Monsters Inc.
And Casey Jr.?
Yeah, and Little Mermaid.
So when you knew we were going to go to Star Wars Land, were you excited to maybe go on the ride, on the Smuggler's Run ride?
Yeah, a little bit, and then I changed my mind, too. I didn't want to go on
You didn't want to go. Why did you change your mind?
Maybe because, remember you showing me, and you would make me, like, in the air, flying in the air?
Yeah, because I picked you up, and I kind of shook you around, as though you were on the ride?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that didn't help, huh?
Mm-mm.
No.
So I don't want to do that part.
You didn't want to do that part?
No, it's still, so that's why it does it.
So what did you keep asking me? What kind of button did you want the ride to have?
A slow button.
A slow button, yeah, so the ride would slow down?
Yeah, because I don't like going fast.
Why not?
I like running by myself going fast. I just don't like going fast because I think it's going to go a lot faster than me.
So the ride's going to go faster than you'll go?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. So when you got to wait in line and everything, was that still fun?
Mm-hmm.
just going through the line. Mm-hmm. What else? What else did you get to see at the Star Wars land that you really liked?
Where did I get the wing?
I don't know. Where'd it go? Maybe. What did you really like about the land, buddy?
The do back. When we went in the store, I liked the do back. And it doesn't do anything. It just makes noise.
It just makes noise. Does it moo like a cow?
Yeah. Like, almost like a cow. It go like moo, but this one go like ah.
Yeah. Well, what did you name your do back?
Jack.
Jack? Why'd you name him Jack?
Because I think that was a perfect name. He liked it.
He likes his name, Jack?
Yeah. And then the second name is Eowyn.
Eowyn is his second name?
Yeah, so two Eowyns, a baby named Eowyn, and then Durak named Eowyn.
Yeah.
Oh, God, this is...
That sounds like a lot of crazy.
Yeah. Okay, so what are you going to say?
So, well, I was going to tell the people that are listening. Thanks, buddy. I appreciate that. I'm going to tell the people that are listening about our experience, like what else we got to see. So we waited in line to get our wristbands. And luckily, the person, the cast member that allowed us to check in, they actually were not concerned at all that the names weren't really matched up. They were like, oh, let me see your ID. They looked at my ID, saw my name, saw that Liam is in my name, William. And they were like, oh, you're good. I think mostly because the last name is pretty specific. So they were like, oh, okay, well, obviously this is the last name. So they gave us all our wristbands, and then they basically told us to go wait by the Critter Country entrance. That's where we were going to be able to go in. Now, the only thing is that pretty much other than Tomorrowland, none of the lands are open. So you can't get into Frontierland, Adventureland, Fantasyland, any of them. You can basically be on Main Street, or you could go into Tomorrowland. And they had kind of told us, like, yeah, if you want to hang out in Tomorrowland, and then, you know, we'll send a cast member and they'll let you guys know when you can start lining up or when you can start walking over. So we weren't going to take any chances. So we walked right over to basically the Adventureland and
can
the...
Can I tell you something?
Yeah.
With that in mind, if they give us this note to go in Star Wars Land?
Yeah, that was really nice of them, yeah, huh? They gave us like a little brochure.
Yeah, why did the droids not move? Why did all of the droids, and why did we not see BB-8? Maybe and Kylo and Chip. I think he painted it in black, so you can't even see him. He's invisible.
Yeah.
Or maybe he shocked a lot of people. I think he's charging too. Why is all the robots charging?
They're charging?
Yeah, why are they all charging?
Because they gotta get their batteries put back together.
Oh, maybe it's been a long, long time when we went on this ride.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so they needed to be charged.
Oh, that's
why,
good.
When we went. I think BB-8 is on a tower or something, or in the Millennium Falcon.
Oh, maybe he's in the Millennium Falcon?
Yeah, and then I think he moved a little bit, but not so much. And then he needs charge all the way outside, and then that's a lot.
Who else did you see in the Millennium Falcon?
Your letter. The one I saw, I don't know who else I saw.
No. Just a couple different, like, droids and different things?
Yeah, I saw the droid.
Gotcha. Cool, bud. So I think the probably that was what was kind of cool was the waiting, the anticipation at that point. Because like Brittany said, we got there, or for you, Remy, as mommy said, we got there way, way too early. So by the time we were done getting our wristbands and getting checked in, which was cool because the wristbands had like a little Nal Hutta. So it was like each wristband had a different planet to specify like what your group was. So we went over and we waited in front of... Adventureland. Initially, we were going to do Frontierland, but we've kind of assumed Adventureland would be a little bit faster. Wait in front of there. I had a nice chat with some other, actually, like Marvel fans, which was kind of cool. We were talking about Marvel and DC. And then actually, the cast member that was there, that was waiting in line, I want to say his name is John. He actually had some input as well. So we talked a lot about like the DC universe and the Marvel universe and Star Wars and what we were excited for. And you're going to do the podcast too? Okay. And then... Okay. Oh, no, don't do that. It's too loud. There you go. Better?
Yeah.
So we waited in line until 8 o'clock, and they gave us a little spiel like, hey, don't run, please walk, be patient, there'll be plenty of time for you to do all the things you want to do. And then, 8 o'clock happens, they do the rope drop, we walk very calmly, and honestly, there was part of me that didn't want to pull out my cell phone when we started walking to the land because I really just wanted to experience it on my own. But my impulses got the better of me. My podcaster, whatever, got the better of me. So I pulled out the phone and I videotaped, but I noticed, honestly, I really didn't pay attention to what I was filming. Like, I kind of just moved the phone around. I would glance at it, but I was really trying to be present in the moment and take in as much of it as I possibly could. And really, that walkway, when you come through Critter Country, like, we walked right next to Hungry Bear, and as you go down along that path and you go in, it's honestly, it's super impressive because as you walk in, you'll start notice things like the garbage cans are different. You'll notice that, you know, you'll start to see the employees in the proper costumes. So, you know, they'll start greeting you with bright suns, because that's what they say in the morning. And then they say rising moons, I want to say, at night. We weren't there at night, so we don't know. But that's what we heard. But you got a lot of bright suns. You actually saw, like, a bunch of employees, but then you also saw a lot of the managers and corporate people walking around in their button downs, which I kind of felt, I mean, I understood the reason for it, but also kind of like distracts a little bit. You're like, you shouldn't be here. This is Star Wars land. Go back to your corporate offices, you goofs. But it was cool. As you round the corner, you get to see an A-wing. You get to see a full-size X-wing. There's the rebel or the resistance outpost that will eventually be the gates, the entranceway to Rise of the Resistance, the second ride that will be unveiled, I guess, later this fall. Mm-hmm. Okay. So you'll have that, and there's a bunch of little like kind of pop-up shops where you can get everything from like a Rebel pilot costume to T-shirts to plushies. I mean, they had a whole lot of different things that you could purchase. But even at that point, that even with the X-Wing and the A-Wing, it still feels very Disney at that point. It didn't quite feel Star Wars-y to me yet. It's really not until you kind of crest a little bit of a hill and you actually see Black Spire Outpost, then at that point, that's when it starts to be a little bit more immersive, a little bit more noticeable. So what I really liked about that, though, is they had Chewbacca just kind of wandering around and he was like repairing things, which was kind of cool. And then you see the outpost, and as you walk into the first part, you know, they still have people out with tables and whatnot that you can purchase things. But as you walk through what I'm calling the bazaar, if you will, obviously Blackfire Outpost, but the bazaar portion of the outpost is very Rogue One in the way it's presented. To me, it very, very much felt like when they go to like Jeddah, and it's just sort of like, you know, that's when it really starts to feel a little bit more immersive. Obviously, as you go into the shops and you see, you know, very contemporary things that you can purchase, obviously at that point, there was never a point where I was like, oh, I'm not in Disneyland anymore. I'm in Star Wars, you know, which I don't know. Maybe it was naive to think that, but I did kind of hope I was going to be able to go in and be like, oh, it's only Star Wars. I mean, and you had mentioned,
I don't know, Remy will let me
yeah, go. You got to let mommy do the show, bud. She's got to talk too. She's got to give her point of view. Come sit with me. Yeah, here it goes. What was really cool, and you had brought this up, and I hadn't even thought about it, was that you cannot see Disneyland from inside Galaxy's Edge.
Yeah, I think that was just thing that you didn't feel like you were, that you felt like you were still in Disneyland. I think I was immersed. I was taken out of Disneyland for a minute there. I think once you get into the busy, get away from the entranceways, which even when you're in the entranceways, they're so far from the rest of Disneyland that you already feel like you're escaping. But once you do hit the outpost, I feel like, nope, Disneyland, where did Disneyland go? You don't see it. You don't hear it. You don't hear the crazy hustle and bustle. It's just, you hear the Star Wars sounds. I don't know. It's as immersive as it can be until you get into a line to wait for a ride. And then you know that you're still in an attraction. You're still in, you know, at a land. So
at an amusement park.
At an amusement park of some sort. But I think they did their absolute best to make you feel like you're stepping right into some planet in the galaxy far, far away, obviously being Batuu. So
right.
I don't know. I think they did a wonderful job with that. But
Wait, I feel like you were mentioning something a while ago that I really wanted to talk about, and I forgot because Remy wouldn't let me talk.
Was it the like the entranceway, like coming in as you see the ships, the garbage cans?
I don't remember.
The rebel outpost.
Oh, yeah, just walk. Oh, yeah, it was entering the actual land where we were told go to Critter Country. And the day before, we were told that Critter Country will be the one that you are not going to enter, that in the morning you will enter in the first two by Frontierland and the Fantasyland entrance. So that's where we were told to go the day before.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure that's where we were supposed to go, because when you think about it, there was no crowd when we walked. Nobody was really waiting or coming in through the Critter Country entrance besides maybe less than 50 of us.
Yeah.
So it was, this was the best experience I think that could possibly have happened and made it feel even more immersive. There was only a few people in front of you as you're experiencing this land. Now, when I went back to look at videos, and even today when I'm seeing everybody's different time slots of all the friends that we follow and different Disney goers and artists, they are waiting in those Frontierland entrances.
Yeah.
And they are all like sandwiched together. Oh, wow. As if they are waiting. And I'm like, we didn't have to do that. We of course waited at rope drop, because if you've ever done a rope drop, you don't get to go into any of the lands until 8 o'clock. So right. You get to go on Main Street and explore the shops. I think like Starbucks is usually open and that's about it. But what happens at Critter Country, since I don't think anybody was supposed to go there, it was awesome.
Yeah.
Nobody was like sandwiched next to us. We weren't waiting to get through. We literally just flashed our wristbands and went right through.
Yeah.
And it was so open. And we caught the cast members off guard, because I'm pretty sure they were also not expecting anybody to come in from this entrance. Because I heard one of them say, which totally broke their character, they said, "Wait, you're not supposed to come this way." And they were telling somebody ahead of me. And the lady kind of got like, "Well, why did they let us in? They checked our wristbands, let us in." They're like, okay, then, bright suns. And then, I'm like, well, okay, kind of good save. Like, right. Not really at all. But I think the message was jumbled.
Yeah.
Between the cast members that early in the morning on the very first day, which we'll get into our experience with cast members as we go and we talk about maybe some of the mishaps of the land. But right. For the most part, like, that experience was awesome. I'm glad we didn't go and wait to where they were kind of pushing everybody in Tomorrowland. Because when you think about it, there was an arrow pushing you back towards Matterhorn.
Right.
To go that direction. And we just didn't do that. No. We just went the other way because we're like, well, we know the land's over here. Let's go here. They said Critter Country. Why would we not wait closest to Critter Country? But I think he just gave us the wrong information.
Probably.
Worked out in our favor.
Right. But I thought that was really, what was really cool about that is it was very awe-inspiring, and it kind of did live up to the hype of what you would want it to look like, because, you know, just between the mountains, the buildings, the ships that are there, you know, the costumes, the constant bright suns, you know.
Yeah.
It was very cool. As we got in there, you know, that was probably what started to become a little bit more daunting, because you get there, you realize that there's a lot of stuff,
mm-hmm.
and you only have 4 hours. So, you know, you think about like, okay, well, there's the different shops. We want to peruse the shops. We want to go to the food places and see what the foods are. We want to do Smuggler's Run, or at least I was going to do Smuggler's Run, because you're carrying a baby and Remy is a baby. So he was actually tall enough to go on the ride. But yeah. As he was saying before, it was just a little bit too intimidating for him. So he decided to sit this one out and maybe wait until mommy's able to go on.
So if you guys don't know, it is 38 inches. So it is 2 inches shorter than Star Tours. So if your kid is still not tall enough for Star Tours, they might be tall enough for this one, which is kind of funny because the videos I've seen, it kind of looks like the same exact mechanics of Star Tours. So I maybe they realize that they probably could go less with Star Tours. I don't know. Maybe it's the restraints. What were the seatbelt situation?
It was the same. It was the same.
Then
as Star Tours.
I really don't understand, because it looks kind of the same. But I think because your ride could be a little bit crazier depending on how well your pilots do, well, how well everybody does.
Right.
You can have a bumpier ride, or you could have a smooth ride. So maybe that's why, you know, it is what it is. Who knows?
I think no matter how you go, it's going to be a bumpy ride.
It's going to be a bumpy ride.
So some of the early things that we were able to kind of hit up were the blue and green milk, which was a must have.
Yes.
I think that for that was very much a...
At the milk stand.
Yes, just straight up called the milk stand.
Yep, because why not? What else would you call it?
Right? You can get just the regular, they're like $7.99 each. Each for each one, it is a smorgasbord of flavors, which was really cool.
I'm gonna look up those flavors. But right
the
now.
But apparently you can also get like a collector's cup as well, which I did not see before, or it was a cup that they got somewhere else and then put the blue milk.
That was
in
probably
it.
In the cantina.
Okay, but they did have like a collector's cup, which was really
yeah,
cool.
Rem.
And then
what
Remy,
did you think of
Remy,
the milk?
You
did you get to try them?
The blue and the green milk. Which one did you like better? Here in the mic. You like the blue. Why'd you like the blue one better? Because it kind of was blue raspberry.
Well,
I was convinced it was blue raspberry.
And
but then you read out the ingredients list and I was
so
way off.
Full ingredients. Both of these are dairy free. So if you are, so they are both vegan.
Yeah,
so
it's almond milk and rice milk.
Coconut milk.
Sorry. Really?
Coconut and rice milk.
Oh, coconut
yes,
and rice milk. There
both.
You go.
So those are the main bases for both of them. And in the blue milk, it's flavored with dragon fruit, pineapple, lime, and watermelon. Which is kind of nuts because I feel like watermelon is very overpowering in drinks, and I didn't taste watermelon at all.
I didn't at all, yeah.
But I guess it's just the mixture and maybe how much they put in. And the green milk is citrus flavored with notes of mandarin orange, passion fruit, grapefruit, and orange blossom.
So what I thought was really interesting about these is that with the blue milk, which was the one I was more excited about because green milk, ugh. The blue milk,
rotten milk.
Right? I was really excited for it, but when I tasted it, it felt too earthly. Does that make sense? Like it tasted too familiar. Like I was like, oh, this is something I could easily find here on our planet. It didn't taste like something that I would never. Oh, this has
right.
got to be from a world galaxy far, far away. Whereas the green milk did taste. Like it had a flavor that I could not pinpoint.
Which is funny because most people are saying they prefer the blue milk, and it's all because it's familiar to you.
Well, yeah,
and
the
it's
flavor
not,
notes.
Yeah, those
yeah.
the flavor notes in the green milk are a little bit more bizarre.
Yeah.
And I think the green milk is more earthy, not like your earthly.
Not earthly.
Not earthly, the more earthly
like,
notes. Like
yeah.
you taste the earth. You can taste the fruits that are inside of it.
It's more roots.
And the roots that come with it. So I feel like that's probably why people go towards the blue milk. And then blue milk, come on.
Right, of course.
But for me, I think I would have to say the blue milk I did like a little bit more, but that's also because of the familiar taste, and it's nice to drink something that you're not afraid of. And then when you drink the green milk, it's like, oh, well, these are interesting flavors, but obviously my mind goes to blue just because
yeah.
the taste-wise. But they're both really good.
Yeah, I would have definitely bought them
and
again.
And texture was so much different than I was expecting because I feel like when you watch Star Wars and when you think of what milk is supposed to taste like, when I'm thinking blue milk, I thought it was going to be straight up like whole milk. Like
yeah,
that
yeah,
thick of a milk, and it was going to taste... I'm not a milk drinker unless it's almond milk. And even then, I don't really drink just a straight up glass of almond milk. I don't do that with any milk. So I was worried about this, and then I took a drink. I was like, oh, surprise. It kind of had, I would say, like a milkshake texture because it was kind of icy. Like
yeah.
you get little granules of ice, like where they you can tell that they blended it pretty much as smooth as they can get it with very little bits of malt and ice left in your milkshake that you would get at a diner or something.
Right.
That's the texture I got from it. So it wasn't a thick whole milk, thank goodness. But if that's your thing, sorry, that's not what it tastes. That's not what it feels like going down. I actually really enjoyed the texture of this milk.
Agreed. Yeah, no, I liked them both. As I said, I mean, definitely would buy again. It's a little on the pricey side.
Yeah, $7.99 for a, I don't know what how many ounces, 8 ounces maybe?
Yeah, probably about 8 ounces. So
yeah.
But still, I mean, definitely worth at least a try. So if you guys have your reservations coming up and have not gone yet, definitely try one of the milks. Brittany probably suggests the blue. I would suggest the green myself.
I would say go green just to be different from everybody else.
Yeah.
Because everybody loves the blue. You're going to love the blue one.
Right.
Try the green one.
Fair enough. Sticking with the food stuff, we actually did end up going to Docking Bay 7. And this the sequence of events is a little bit out of order for us. But I want to stick with the foods before we really get into Smuggler's Run, because I feel like that's the big ticket.
The meat and the potatoes.
Yeah, that people want to probably... we'll talk more about that. But so with Docking Bay 7, we originally went to the Ronto's Wraps or whatever it was.
Ronto's Roasters?
Yeah. Well, with that one, we did not notice
Ronto
any...
Ronto Roasters.
We did not notice any vegetarian options. So.
No, I think it's something that you would have to modify. And even at that point, you could probably only modify the breakfast options, because they have like an egg egg sausage wrap, which obviously if you're vegan, there's no options. Yeah. But if you're vegetarian, then there is. But it makes sense. It's called Ronto Roasters. And when you walk in, it's straight up the creepy creatures, you know, being roasted right in front of you. So you know you're going into a meat place. So that's not anything that is like for us to down. We knew what we were getting into. But I thought we'd wait in line, see what they got going on. They had some fun cocktails, well, like mocktails, because they're just fancy drinks, nothing with alcohol outside of the cantina. So those I want to go back and try, definitely. Well,
what I really liked about Ronto's is it did really feel like street meat.
Yeah, it did.
Type thing. Like they had a big pod racer engine hung from the ceiling, mm-hmm. and then like
a droid that was
basically spinning a spit,
cooking the meat.
So I thought that was really interesting. It was it had a really cool vibe to it, but it is not really it's not a sit down. It's kind of just a walk past eatery. Like there is a line. It's more
quick
of like,
dining. You go, you pick it up and sit down.
It reminded me of like Bengal barbecue. That'd be the closest thing I could compare it to.
A lot of people loved it. I think a lot of reviews for the Ronto's Roasters, there was all positive. They enjoyed the drinks, and then of course they enjoyed the all the fun little sausages that you can get, which they look really cool because they put them in pita. And now I just want them to be able to get like some sort of Beyond or Impossible sausage and put something spicy in a pita wrap for me, and I will be super stoked. So I'm giving them a little bit of time. I bet they will do it because Disney is really good about trying to include vegetarian and vegan options, which is always nice.
Right. Oh, well, always appreciated.
Yes.
Well, and so with that one, we did end up passing that by, and we instead made our way to Docking Bay 7. Which Docking Bay 7, there was a little bit of a line, not too bad.
It's pretty quick
to get in there. But as we went in, they hand you the menu so you can kind of review things as you're waiting. It was interesting though. They had a vegetarian option for breakfast, for lunch, and for dinner.
Yes,
but you cannot get them all at the same time.
No, like they're only during their designated meal times.
So I thought that was
kind of a bummer, but understandable.
Right. So, but we ended up being there during lunch. We got the Felucian garden spread.
Yes.
Which is basically like an herb hummus with olive oil, pita bread, and then what we thought were falafels, but they ended up being kefta meatballs or kefta style Impossible Burger meatballs. Mm-hmm. And at first, you weren't real keen to try them until I was like, oh crap, this is a meatball, not a falafel.
Yeah. First off, I'm not huge on falafel. I can eat maybe one, and then the spices are just too overpowering for me. That's the only thing I'll ever taste for the next week. So just too much garlic. And I love garlic, but falafel just overdoes it, I feel like, every time. So I was not excited for this. I'm like, okay, well, I'll probably just eat something somewhere else and maybe get like a side of something. So we did. We'll talk about that in a minute. But when you said it was not falafel and it's like some sort of meatball, I was like, well, I want to try it just because it looked interesting. You could tell it had quinoa in it.
Yeah.
It had some other grain, probably not chia, but something else, some black seeds that were in there. I'll have to look it up to see what exactly was inside. But I don't know. It looked tasty enough that I was being adventurous and I needed to try it. I needed to try this Star Wars food. What would people be eating in a galaxy far, far away? And I was pleasantly surprised.
You almost had us order a second one.
Yep, because I was going to eat all of yours. I would say next time order more pita, like an extra side of pita.
Yes.
Because the one slice cut up into like three or four pieces was not enough, because they give you a ton of hummus, which is cool.
Yeah.
But with that, then they should give you extra pita, I think.
Well, and luckily you had packed like a took a little baggie of wheat thins. So I ended up using wheat thins to kill off the rest of the hummus.
It worked out. It happened to be by chance.
And then you got what was like a chicken meal, but it was, you had asked for only a side of the vegetable mash.
Yeah, the chicken meal was, I think they called it like tip yip or something.
Yeah, tip yip.
And it comes with an herb gravy over a vegetable mash. And I'm not really 100% on the herb gravy being vegetarian. So I think that's something you should ask if you guys want to try it. Because I think it's a different gravy that they give for dinner. I don't think it's called that same herb gravy.
Right.
But we'll see. I didn't get sick. So I'm guessing it might have been. But I asked just for the side. And of course, early on in that first day opening, I think they just read it as tip you side mash or something, and they put the whole thing on there. I'm not one of those that's like, chicken is touching my food, I gotta get rid of it. We just took it off.
I am, but you're not.
I'm not. I just took it off, and I still ate the mash, which the cheddar mash was an awesome, nice consistency of mashed potatoes and a great combination of flavors. So as a side, those were really good.
And then we also got the batu ban, which was... Oh, yeah. It was chocolate cake with chocolate pudding, mousse. Like a pudding
mousse. Yeah, chocolate
mousse
and, or no, it was like a raspberry mousse, I think,
yeah.
Or something.
And then it had...
or mango.
I want to say it was like a cream on the inside as well, or like a custard. It was like a some sort of chocolate custard or something in the middle as well.
White chocolate, I think.
And it was delicious.
It was super good, and it looked awesome. Yeah. If you want to see pictures of anything that we had, if you want to go to my page, Citizen of Disney, I have a highlights section. So right on my page, you can go to Star Wars Galaxy and just look through everything. And there's a picture of all the foods we tried, the drinks, and then other videos of the land. Bless you, bud. But it was super tasty. I think it is really small. But since it was, we were eating it as a dessert after a meal, it was perfect size to share.
Yeah.
I think if you were just getting this, you might think that it was on the small side and maybe wouldn't be too much. But also it's chocolatey, so it's really rich. Yeah. So you don't really need a lot of chocolate, but to each his own. I know everybody wants either more or less of something. For me, I thought it was the perfect size to share.
Yeah, I think for everything that we got was a pretty good balance. So I would definitely recommend...
So you don't feel gross.
Yeah, not at all.
As you're going through the rest of the park.
Yeah, I would recommend for people to try it. And honestly, like as good as the food was, the atmosphere was amazing.
Yes.
Like the way the tables were, the freaking forks.
Oh, yeah. Oh, which
the silverware.
I read
some
awful things about that. You know how they had a section where you can go get an extra fork? Because you didn't see that they were on our tray.
Yeah.
So you thought that you had to get some. In that section, people were taking them, and you can go on eBay and see them for sale.
Are you kidding me?
Yep.
Come
so
on.
So now they are no longer... They're giving them, but only the ones that they think that you'll need, and you have to go ask for more. They're not just free putting them out on a stand.
That's so obnoxious.
Yep. After the first day, people ruined it.
Of course.
Yep. Oh, gosh. Don't be those people, guys. It's... I mean, I know none of you guys are because you're... We know you're good people.
Right.
You're listening to the show.
I mean, I get it. We're all big smugglers and fans of Han Solo.
But that was awful. Like, they are really cool. No joke. Like, these sports were a way to keep you immersed in the land. So clever. I didn't even think about that. Like, that a plastic fork would make me feel like I'm outside or that, oh, I'm back in Disneyland because I got a plastic utensil or a normal fork, a dingle hopper or whatnot. And then they're like, hey, look at this cool creation we just came up with.
Which definitely was awesome.
Yeah, I think it adds to it. So if not just to try out the spork, don't steal it though.
No, don't be that guy or girl. But I had snapped a picture. I don't remember if I posted it on mine or on the Hilt Radio one, but just of like the inside of the eatery itself. And looking at it, you're just like, I mean, if you could imagine the people in, you know, all of us patrons in Star Wars gear as opposed to, you know, our everyday attire, you would have thought it was a picture straight out of the films. I mean, it was awesome. So I highly recommend it. I love the hydraulic doors, the automatic doors that open from the sides. I thought that was really cool.
In most places.
Yeah, most of them had doors. So I dug that. We also went into, I can't remember what the shop was called, that had like the lightsabers and all the...
Oh, that one is...
Like the Jedi and Sith holocrons.
We'll find that name for you.
Thank you. But anyways, but this one also had like the sign doors. It's kind of diagonally across the way from Docking Bay 7. It's like if you're going from Ronto's Roasters, you'll see it on your right hand side,
like,
before you go to
Antiquities, but I don't remember. I know Savvy's workshop is where you make the lightsabers. Yeah. I don't know if it's like also Savvy's Antiquities, because it's kind of connected to the same thing. It's just one is off more to the left, and then you have to go down some stairs to get to the droid and the lightsaber build.
Right.
So, which those ones had long lines outside, so we're like, well, there's a long line. I don't really don't want to wait to see what that is.
Yeah, maybe not this one. Not this time.
Not this time around. We knew we weren't going to make them anyway.
No, for sure. But I really like that room. Same thing, like the aesthetics, the way that it was built, the Ithorian that's behind like that cage that's kind of reviewing things, the animatronic.
Doc Ondor.
Yeah, that's... Yeah. Well, it's probably Ondor or something then.
Maybe it's Ondor's Antiquities. Yeah,
probably. but that was
it
really...
It doesn't say it on the map. Disney map. Yeah.
I really liked that. I thought the feel of it, being able to see all the lightsaber hilts on display, that was very cool. I was very tempted to get, quote-unquote, Rey's lightsaber so we could mount it in Eowyn's room, but... My frugal self, my frugal mind got the better of me. So
and by frugal mind, he means frugal wife.
Yeah. Well, no.
Did not allow.
Well, I told you I was like, I'll be. I so told close. You, I said I was seriously considering getting one of these, but I know it's not a good idea. And you were like, no, it's not.
It will be there. It is something we can get down the road. Yeah. It's just, and we would have to save up for if we know that is something we want to do.
Something that we're going to get. But I really liked that room as well. We probably didn't get to spend as much time as we originally wanted to. And part of it is people were filming their like
YouTube
segments
shows.
In the thing, which I get it. Like if you want to label yourself an influencer or whatever it is that you do, like that's totally cool and that's fine. But it was taking away from my experience.
Oh, definitely.
Like these people trying to do like a TV program
every
right in front of
five
me.
Steps somebody was saying, hey everyone, and this is, and they're not talking to anybody they're with.
No.
They're talking to their phones or their video contraption or whatever is happening. And obviously we all were recording things, so we were all, you know, part of taking in that experience on our phones.
Sure.
It's just the way we do things
and
now.
I get it. And like sharing that experience with the people that can't be there, right? Like there's tons of people
right.
that tune into our podcast, to YouTube channels,
to our Instagrams,
yeah,
to, you
because
know, these
they go,
to see.
Well, I won't get to see that for months or years or what have you. So this is as close as I'm going to get. So I completely get that, but it doesn't mean that I can't still be kind of turned off by it when it's like,
well,
oh,
and
I'm trying
the
to
way
enjoy this
some
in my
people
way.
Go about it is very rude. The fact that I was cut off from a line because somebody, I was near something that they wanted to talk about on their show. I really hope that you took an extra 10 minutes editing that video with me going through it, because you just straight up stopped me in my tracks so you can talk about something I don't even know. And then she was there forever. She has a guy filming her as she's, this is what happens in Star Wars, the Rebels, and blah, blah, blah. Well, tell him that then.
Yeah.
Just talk to him about that. Nope, she's putting on a full show and expected me to wait for her to go around or wait till she was done. Uh-uh, not having it. We are all experienced this at the same time.
Yep.
So that is one thing, too, where if you are an influencer, if this is something that you do for a YouTube channel, maybe you don't call yourself an influencer, but you do like to put these things out there, be courteous to everybody else around you, because we're all trying to take these same experiences in.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you could be ruining it.
Right. But just be, yeah, be like you said, be courteous, be cognizant of the people that are around you.
Exactly.
But yeah, so once we got out of there, I think at that point we went back to do the...
Well, if we're sticking with food and shops, the cantina is probably the most popular place in the whole land. So that one line... Just like the ride, the line starts. And they only allow so many people in line at one time because the area that it's in can easily block off a pathway and they don't want that to happen. So what they are doing, which is smart, is they were cutting off the line. They're only allowing so many people in, but the place is kind of small.
Yeah.
So only so many people could go inside at a time and drink. And what we heard is that they are doing a 45-minute rule or a 2-drink minimum. People were taking advantage of that, and I don't think they were really policing it as well as they wanted to.
2-drink maximum. You can only get two.
Oh, yeah. 2-drink maximum. Sorry. It's kind of like the Disney rule.
Yeah.
Two drinks is kind of the rule until you leave and then come back and have two more.
Right.
You know that's what most people do all across the park, because I've seen some faded people in California Adventure. Anywho. So from the videos and everything that I've seen online, looks amazing. I wish we could have just went in just to look, but they weren't even allowing that.
Yeah.
You couldn't go in unless you waited in that line. But what they would do is close it off. Like, if you weren't in the line at a certain time, just like with character meet and greets, if it's done, it's done.
Yeah.
They put a cast member at the end of the line and say, nope, you'll have to come back later. We don't know when. Just come back. So it's little kinks that we had to deal with being the first group of the whole
opening
thing.
Yeah.
Because as I heard as it went is they figured out that I think they were pissing people off, that they needed to give people a time to come back. So they did that. So you got to go and you got to wait and you got to get a little time stamp and they would tell you come back from at this time and then you were allowed to go in. So that was nice. I think it was little things, you know. So there's always positives of being the first. And then there's also some negatives as when we're all learning together. All the cast members are kind of doing, you know, the same thing that we are. And yes, they've been trained. But still, there's going to be questions that somebody didn't really think of. And that Olga's Cantina is apparently the place to be in all of Galaxy's Edge. So if that is something that is on your must-do list, I would say go straight to that then. If the ride is not your absolute must, go to the cantina, get your drinks in. Or, hey, if you don't mind having to wait in a line or possibly being turned away and having to come back, then go do the ride, then go straight to the cantina after. But like we said, we had went back at least twice that I can remember. I feel like we went by three times, and every time the line was closed off. So it was just not our luck to be able to go into that cantina or even wait. But luckily, my cousin and Ryan, they got to, so Chris and Ryan got to experience it. They decided, you know what, last minute, we only have, like, it's the last hour of our reservation, and we really want to do this. Lines open, popping in. And they did, and they enjoyed it. They said the drinks were good. The atmosphere is awesome, and it'll definitely be a place that they're excited to go back to.
Nice. So. And I know that it'll be something that you and I will eventually check off of the list of things to
and
do
who knows,
as well.
Maybe next time I won't be preggo, so I can enjoy a fuzzy tauntaun or whatever the heck they called it.
It was a fuzzy something. No, I think that one definitely was the other go-to. I'd say, if anything, the line for that was more impressive than for Smuggler's Run.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
Very interesting. But the other main one, food-wise, that there was a decent line for as well, was actually for the Mouse Droid popcorn bucket.
Yes. And I think that was because the popcorn bucket.
For sure.
You know how we all feel about new popcorn buckets. They had a lot, so I don't think they ran out even after the first day. So they still... One thing I noticed, merch, they had a lot of.
Yeah,
they
really...
figured it out this time.
Yeah.
Let's not order something and then be run out within hours of it being released, because that kind of sucks, you know? Not everybody can be there, especially on reservations.
Yeah.
Only so many people could be in there. So with this, I think they knew how many people in their reservation count was going to be there, and they probably took a percentage of what is the likelihood of how many people will buy this,
right,
and they ordered it. And so there's more than enough. So don't worry, guys. All of that good merch should still be there. I've been seeing people still buying them, and we're, what, days in now? What, like 5 days in?
Right, yep.
So it's lasted almost a week, guys. I think you'll be fine to get your Mouse Droid.
Right, which we picked up, of course.
That one, oh, heck yeah. That one was at, what is that place called? It's like something's Kettle. Katsaka's Kettle.
Nice.
There you go. And that's where you can get that cool looking popcorn. If you're not interested in kettle corn of some sort, you will not like it.
No.
If you do not like sugary and spicy things, you will not like it.
Remy did not like
Remy that. Was not a fan. It is not your typical popcorn. But on the other hand, I loved it because same. I love sweet and spicy.
No, I enjoyed it as well, but I did think it was funny that as soon as we walked out of Galaxy's Edge, Remy was like, can I have popcorn? And we had to buy him regular popcorn.
Yep, we went to Haunted Mansion popcorn stand and got him some regular popcorn.
Which then he dumped half of it on the ground, which was the second time in the same day that he did that.
Yep,
so.
And then did it again the next day.
Oh my goodness. The other thing, and we actually did this early on when we first were walking in from the Critter Country side, is that they have like an adopt-a-creature table. And like you can buy them in one of the actual storefronts, but this one was kind of like a table that was laid out, and they had you know, Dewbacks and Tauntauns and
Rathtars.
They had a bunch of different.
What's the frog's name? The funky frog. A
Ribets.
I think that was there. Cats, I think, that are from Rebels or from the other show before Rebels?
Clone Wars. No, Clone Wars. But no, the cat thing was from Rebels. And then they also had the monkey lizard from Jabba's Palace. Salacious Crumb. They had like that type of...
Oh, yeah. And you could wear him on your shoulder, which was really cool. It's kind of like when you see the Groots walking around, it's like magnetized onto your shoulder.
So I liked all of that. And that was what Remy was telling you guys about earlier, was that's where he got Jack the Dewback. So out of all the creatures that he saw, he decided he wanted to pick up Jack. And I want to say it was only like $30. Like, it really wasn't that bad.
Yeah,
for like
I think it came out to like $27, I think.
With the discount.
So that's a pretty decent price for, I feel like, anything in Disney. And especially something to that extent of, like, the feel of the creature is really cool. So all it does is, I think he was saying, it makes noises and it opens its mouth when you push on its tail. But it looks adorable.
Yeah.
And he is obsessed with it.
Yeah, he loved it. Like, was carrying it with him, like, the whole time.
Uh-huh. And it comes in a cool little carrying case. Like you just adopted this creature. It's super cool. So the same as kind of like the droids, how they come in their fancy little carrying case. This one also has one too.
Nice. So we'll get into Smuggler's Run, right? I think that's probably the main thing that people you're only listening to this for Smuggler's Run, which is why we force you to listen to all the other stuff first. So with this one, as Brittany said before, it was a 38-inch height requirement. We had heard initially going into it that people said, probably don't bring younger kids because it was going to be too intense. Mm-hmm. I would say this is actually this is a perfect stepping stone for kids that are too afraid to go on Star Tours.
Have them
go on Galaxies on Smuggler's Run, and a couple of reasons. One, and you touched on it before, the ride mechanics are almost identical to Star Tours. Second off, it's interactive. So if anything, they're going to be a little bit more distracted in the fact that they can either pilot or be a gunner or be an engineer, so that there is a little bit more of that connectivity to what's happening as opposed to just being a passenger in the ship. And the third one is, I would say that it's shorter. Like in total, I don't know if it's just because you're doing stuff and that's why you don't feel like the ride's as long as it is.
Okay.
But honestly, I kind of felt like it went quicker than when I'm on Star Tours.
Well, and then it goes faster depending on how well you do.
Yeah.
You do better, you can be on there a little bit longer.
Yeah, so that's something that we learned after the fact. But then I watched a video and they did decently well, but they did all the same things that I did.
Yeah.
And I feel like we didn't do well on our
flight. You're going to hit all of the main things. They're not going to leave anything out. They're going to make sure you experience every like main part of the ride. But maybe some sequences are spread out a little bit longer.
Right. So what was interesting is as you go through the queue there to the far left, there are single riders. In the center, there's the fast pass. And then to the right-hand side is standby lines. When we went in at 8 o'clock, there was no fast passes. There was no single riders. So it was only standby line. We probably waited in line
less than 30 minutes.
Yeah, probably 20, 25 minutes, something like that. What's really cool is it kind of S-curves behind the Millennium Falcon. So the Falcon obviously is parked right outside of Smuggler's Run. You can hear the engines trying to fire up. You get to see like the steam firing down from below the Falcon right next to the docking ramp. I really liked it. I really thought that all like the little things were really interesting to make it feel a very authentic Millennium Falcon. As you go through, the ground floor is just sort of behind the Falcon. As you go up a little bit higher, you end up doing where you're kind of going up like a ramp and whatnot. And you get to where you hear different like engineers kind of talking back and forth. And they're trying to fire up like a hyperdrive engine.
I think you hear Hondo every now and then. The closer you get, you start hearing Hondo
more. And then you start to kind of piece together what the mission is. That basically, Hondo is recruiting pilots and gunners and engineers to go on a smuggling mission, i.e. Smuggler's Run. And in it, he talks about how Chewie was kind enough basically to loan the Falcon for this run.
That doesn't seem like something Chewie would do.
No, it definitely is not. things that I really liked about the story is that it felt Star Wars adjacent.
Okay.
So it was like, it was still Star Wars, but it was not anything that you're like, oh, this is a mission that is specifically something that happens in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I likened this ride to like the Star Wars battle pod or whatever, that you kind of sit there and you get to go through like the Death Star trench run or, you know, the assault on Hoth. Like, mm-hmm. you get to do these different experiences that are straight up out of the movies. Whereas with this one, it was its own storyline. You know, like with Star Tours, it's kind of its own storyline, but you're very much visiting planets and scenarios that occurred in the films. So that one, it still very much is like, oh, this is Star Wars. Whereas yes. this is like, it's Star Wars, but it's something else that's happening.
And that's where it becomes different than Star Tours, right?
Because yeah,
100%. When you go to Star Tours, you know you're going to these planets that you know. You're seeing characters that you know.
Yeah.
And with this, you got to figure we are decades away from when those things were happening. If we're trying to live in a Star Wars land, those people aren't doing those things anymore. That happened already. So now we're living in a time of the Resistance and the First Order. So we got to think about what would be going on right now. So enters in Hondo.
Well, and what was interesting too was this whole idea of he needs you to basically, the mission itself is that he needs you to pick up Coaxium, which was out of Solo, a Star Wars story.
Right.
So there, to
me... But that would put it even older.
Well, but that's what I liked about it is because you figure with Hondo, he came to prominence during the Clone Wars animated series and then made a reappearance in Rebels. So he has survived, but only within the cartoon experience. They have a fully animatronic Hondo.
You wouldn't even think he's animatronic.
No, it is so fluid in its movements. It is leaps and bounds above what we saw with the introduction of Jack Sparrow into Pirates of the Caribbean.
Oh gosh, yes.
It is another level, how much he moves, his ability, like the way he communicates, just everything about the experience when you go, you basically go into like a grand room. The only thing I can liken it to is with Mission Breakout when Rocket is moving around and talking to you.
I got those vibes for sure.
Yeah, it was very similar in that regard. But it's basically, it's a holding point to allow the people in front of you to continue on.
Right.
You know, without building up even more of a queue. Once you go through that and he sort of explains what the mission is, what you're going to go on, which as I said, you're picking up Coaxium. You're going to go through another tunnel. You go down a ramp and they basically will put you into a group of six and they'll hand you little tokens, like a wood block, basically. And on each token says either pilot, gunner, or engineer. So you don't really get to choose. You're kind of given your task. Obviously, if you're familiar with the people in your group, you can trade tokens. We just kept the tokens that we had. So I was fortunate enough to be a pilot, which was really cool.
That's what you wanted to do.
It's exactly what I wanted to do. Ryan also got to be a pilot and your cousin Chris got to be a gunner. Mm-hmm. And then the other three people in our group were not people that we were familiar with. So we were kind of like, hey, whatever you are, you are.
You can't sit with us.
You can't sit with
us. But they had to.
So then at that point, and you were still with us for all of this.
I did. I saw everything.
And then we go, you and Remy stayed with us throughout that line.
I needed to see Hondo and I needed to get inside of the Falcon.
Which after you get your tokens, they basically bring you into what is the main living area, the family room of the Falcon. So, and they encourage you to take pictures and look around. There's the little Dejeric table with the bench seat around it. So you and Remy got to sit down and take a picture. I didn't get to because they called us almost immediately.
Yeah.
We had maybe a minute to try to take pictures.
We walked in and then they called your color of your group and said, hey, line up over here.
No, which we did. They bring you down. They collect your tokens, basically bring you down another hallway. There's the little things on the floor that says pilot, gunner, and you stand over your spot. There's a little TV screen where Hondo, you know, kind of gives you another little reminder what's going on. The cast member brings you into around a corner into another room where you actually see the cockpit. So we got to see the group ahead of us buckled in and get told like, okay, you're ready to go. Cast member steps out, door closes, and I'm like, all right, now we have to sit and wait for these guys to go through their mission. He hits a button. Within 10 seconds, the door opens again. They're gone.
So cool.
It's on some sort of pendulum mechanism that is moving these
constantly
things out of the way. So you could be running this constantly. So I think that
that's even why it moved so quickly.
Exactly. I think even though the way, and there were multiple hallways you go down. So mm-hmm. it wasn't like ours was the only hallway. I think there was like two or three.
No, there was a lot because me and Remy went exploring after we left you guys.
Yeah.
We were in the Falcon for a while. Like we saw two other groups go through. I'm like, wow, they're moving in pretty quickly because we kept seeing them come in and then nobody kicked us out. So we just kind of, Remy was playing around with everything inside. Yeah. So until I realized, okay, we've been in here for a while, let's go. So I had to find somebody and ask, how do I exit? And they looked at me like I was crazy. They're crazy. They're like, how do you exit? And so I found a way to exit. She showed me which way to go, but where she was, a door closes, so she couldn't see where I went. So she waited a little bit to make sure that I was going to go the way that she told me. But she's like, you can either go elevators or stairs. And we weren't going to go in the elevator, so we were going to go down the stairs. So I kind of like walked towards the stairs like we were going to go. But I saw off in the distance that there was a huge hallway down there. I'm like, well, where does this go? That's not any of the ways she told me to go. And so I waited for her to shut the door. And me and Remy walked down. And I'm pretty sure we found another place where either you guys – I think it might be where you guys exit.
Exit, yeah.
Because did you guys have to go down some stairs?
Yes.
Okay, then I think I saw where you guys exit the Falcon.
Oh, nice.
So I was like, this is cool. So lights were flickering and making noises. And
that is it. Because what happens is as you go through the mission, so basically what it is the two pilots, one is the left-hand side, you control the left to right. The right-hand side, you control up and down. So as you pull back on the joystick, you're the lever. The Falcon rises. When you push down, it goes into a dive. Mm. And then you also, the right-hand one gets to pull the hyperdrive lever, which actually cool. like illuminates in green, so you know when to pull it, which is really nice. Cool. There's other random buttons you can press, but they don't really do much.
Gotcha.
Like, they don't really influence. Then behind you, there's two gunners, one that shoots red lasers, the other one that shoots blue lasers.
Cool.
And behind them are the engineers, which at first, the engineers, you're like, oh, you're just pushing buttons. It's no big deal.
Yeah.
But as part of the mission, it's basically the pilots have to fly to line yourself up behind the train that is carrying the coaxium, a la Solo. The mm-hmm. gunners have to continuously shoot to break off one of the cargo pods, and then the engineers have to harpoon the cargo pod so you can extract the coaxium. No matter how good you fly, you are going to hit stuff, and stuff is going to hit you. So there's a lot of jostling and bumping around. There's a lot of points where you have Hondo kind of shouting at you like, go right, go left, pull up, gunners, you have to shoot. You know, so he's kind of barking instructions as you go. And then he's also kind of telling you like, hey, Chewie's not going to be happy with how bad you're dinging up the ship. And then when you finish the mission, they kind of give you the score based on like how well each group had done within your group. And then Hondo basically gives you a rundown of all the things that you broke on the ship. And then as you're exiting, like there's lights flashing and whatnot, we kind of tell you like, hey, you're banged up the Falcon.
Did you guys do
good.
25% at least?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
Yeah. But no, I thoroughly enjoyed the ride. I liked the idea of it. I liked how quickly it moved. I loved being able to be in the Falcon and pilot the Falcon.
Mm-hmm. Dream come true.
Me being a control freak, I wanted to be able to control the whole flight pattern.
Right. So like if you were going to be a pilot, you wish you could do the whole thing.
Exactly. I didn't like only being able to control one aspect of the flying. And I think were I a gunner or an engineer, it would have been the same thing. I'm only controlling 50% of mm-hmm. what's being done, of my job duty, if you will.
You want to be the Han and the Chewie.
Yeah, kind of. That's really what it comes down to. So I thought that for me, I really enjoyed it and I'm looking forward to going back. But I think knowing what the ride is now, I'll have tempered my expectations a little bit more. And I'll be able to feel more comfortable shouting at the other pilot, like, go left, go right. But I was just so trying to take everything in that I wasn't trying to bark orders.
The big question, Star Tours or Smuggler's Run?
Star Tours because it has the legacy mm-hmm. behind it. Smuggler's Run because of the interaction that you have with the ride itself. So they both have their positives and negatives. Like I was watching YouTube videos of both rides with Remy, and watching Smuggler's Run, I'm like, oh, I love this ride. It's so good.
Yeah.
And then watching Star Tours, I go, oh, no, but I love Star Tours. It's such
a good
ride.
Well, because you're so like the screen is all around you, right? Because like just like the windows would be in the cockpit,
the canopy
like wherever
is the same
there's
way.
A window you can see outside, right?
Yeah, exactly.
That's awesome. So it feels a little bit more immersed. So I'm excited to one day ride it.
Yeah. So I will hold the baby while you go in and ride the ride.
I get to go on it twice.
Yes.
Just because you got to go on it opening day.
liked it. Thought it was so nice, you rode it twice.
Yeah. But by then, Rise of the Resistance should be open. And that's the ride that I'm super pumped for because just the description of this ride seems like nothing they've ever done before.
No. And I'm excited. And I'm glad they're taking their time and not trying to rush that one.
Right.
Not that I felt this ride was rushed, but I think this was the easier ride to implement.
For
because
sure.
Because your mechanics, like we said, are basically Star Tours.
Yep. Nothing new, really. But with Rise of the Resistance, it is what they're trying to accomplish with it is very new.
Now, thoughts though, if they were to remove Star Tours and all you have is Smuggler's Run, how are you gonna feel?
That makes me sad. Yeah. I feel like the description of Smuggler's Run, kind of from everybody, seems very similar to Star Tours, and whether they want to admit that or not, because we're all just kind of in the excitement and the hype of the grand opening. It sounds like Star Tours.
Yeah.
But I don't have the experience to say it is. So I don't know. It makes me worry for Star Tours. Even though Imagineers have said themselves, I feel like Scott Trowbridge said himself that it's not going anywhere. Star Tours, don't worry about it. It's not going anywhere. At least nowhere in the near future, it's not going anywhere. Right. So that's good. I don't think it should because they need to start revamping the rest of Tomorrowland before they can get rid of that.
Right, for sure.
Because then that's a whole land that will kind of just be, hey, we got Buzz, Astro Orbiters,
Space Mountain.
But even then, if depending on what they're planning on doing, they're planning a revamp for Space Mountain soon. So a lot of things will be closed. You will have very limited rides in there.
Yeah.
And then if they decide to get rid of Autopia or Nemo, we have nothing. There's two rides. That's nuts. And there are kid rides.
Yeah.
So I think it would be crazy for them to get rid of Star Tours. I don't see it happening.
That and the ride. This past weekend was super quiet. So we actually were able to walk on to some of these rides.
Yes.
We could have walked on to Star Tours.
Oh, yeah. For sure. You guys walked right on to Big Thunder, didn't
you?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It was like 15-minute wait. And then you guys walked on.
We literally, Gavin and I walked right onto it, which was pretty intense.
Yeah. Everything big. Indiana Jones, I think, was 15 minutes. Everything was like 15 minutes or less.
Yeah.
Something about the opening of Galaxy's Edge scared people away. This was the quietest I have seen Disneyland in years. Over 5 years, probably.
Yeah. I think the last time was when we went that weekend, end of June before 4th of July.
Which has been a while.
And it was raining and nobody, like lightly raining and nobody was there. This is the only other time I've seen it this quiet.
So far, the whole week has been nice. All the Disney goers that I still follow, every day has been just like the weekend was.
Nice.
So the fact that it was a Saturday and Indiana Jones was 15 minutes, that kind of says something.
Yep.
Of course, Peter Pan was still 30 minutes because it's Peter Pan.
Right. And that's just kind of the way it works. So, final impressions. So, walking out of Galaxy's Edge after our four-hour stretch, how did you feel?
I was amazed. I was immersed. I think they did a wonderful job because finally leaving after that fourth hour and going into Critter Country, I'm like, this feels so different than what we were just in.
Yeah.
The land feels like its own thing. Now, if we want to talk any sort of negatives,
criticisms,
because they're not like super negative. I think it's things that they could fix or work out. This one, I don't think they can fix though. For me, the only thing I would say is I want more interaction in the land to where you see all these amazing ships, but you can't touch them or go on them. The droids aren't moving through the land. I'm hoping that's something that they're going to do eventually down the road. I imagine making something like a BB-8 is expensive, but we have seen it done. We've seen people at D23 expos who have made them with their own money. I'm sure Disney can make a couple of them and have them going, because that was Remy's huge thing, was why aren't the droids moving? Where's BB-8? Why isn't he here? He was excited for BB-8 the whole time. And not to see one rolling around. If you guys have seen one, let me know. I think that is a big letdown, not to see the droids moving. They have them, but they make like boop noises.
True.
And light up. You don't get to go on the X-Wing. You don't get to go on the A-Wing. You don't get to go on the new TIE Echelon or whatever the heck they're calling it.
You don't get to go on the land speeders.
You don't get to go on the speeders. Everything is behind something. And I feel like that was a big miss.
Yeah.
And I know with the more that like people touch them, they get destroyed. But it's kind of one of those things where it could have been something as simple as in Fantasyland, where you can
the teacup
hop on a teacup. You can hop on Mr. Toad's little buggy car.
100% this.
Little things like that I was expecting to make me feel more immersed. Yeah. So the fact that I couldn't do that, I would have to say that's the biggest criticism. And I was kind of let down with that. So for me, not being able to go on the ride, not being able to go have a drink in Oka's Cantina, those were the things that I wanted to do, and I couldn't do them.
Darn pregnancies.
No, well, and we missed the First Order show.
Yeah.
Which that was cool. Kylo Ren does come out of the tie.
Yeah.
So that was awesome to see on video. I can't wait to see it in person.
Well, to piggyback on that, I think it's the same thing. Like, I would have loved to have seen Chewbacca and Han come out of the Falcon,
mm-hmm.
right? I would have loved to have seen more known characters walking around the land. Like, we saw two First Order troopers, which was cool, and, like, their interactions and whatnot were a lot of fun. But we've seen that in Tomorrowland.
Right.
We didn't see something that was, like, brand new character-wise, and I think that's what I would have liked to have seen. I was talking to Patrick about this, and I think one of the criticisms that I have is that they chose a planet to create a specific storyline.
Yes.
But we as Star Wars fans have no connection to this planet
mm-hmm.
other than what we need to now try to build in this Star Wars land. Whereas if you had said, oh, this is Jedha, this is Tatooine, you know, this is Mos Eisley. If they had picked something that we were familiar with, I think that would have kind of helped with the immersion. Whereas, like, you're trying to familiarize yourself with a place that is only now becoming part of Star Wars canon.
Right.
Up to this point, it was nothing.
Which it is, guys, because read the comics. They have a whole comic run on Galaxy's Edge.
Yeah. So, I mean, I know years down the line, it'll be a different story, but especially when you're trying to introduce this to Star Wars fans, I think the connection would have been stronger or quicker, let's say,
if
it was someplace that you knew. Like, if you were going to Werher's Cantina as opposed to Uga's, mm-hmm. you'd be like, oh, I've seen this. They went here in A New Hope. Oh, I'm so excited.
Right.
Like, I think that's where maybe there were some misses. The other big miss is, and I understand that in Disneyland, the policy is no costumes, right? If you're over the age of 14 or whatever it is, that you're not to be wearing costumes. They are selling costumes in Galaxy's Edge. So you can buy Jedi tunics,
full
Jedi robes,
get-ups.
Belts. You can basically outfit yourself like Rey, regardless of how old you are.
Yeah, like Rey, like Leia.
Princess
they have
Leia.
The hair. They have headpieces.
Yes.
Yeah. So I imagine you can wear them once you buy them.
Nope.
Did you look it up?
I looked it up. So their policy still stands even for Galaxy Edge. So you can Disney bound.
Which a lot of the bounds that they were allowing were very costume-esque.
Yes.
So I feel like that might be something that gets taken away down the road as well.
Yeah, I was gonna say they're probably more lenient because there were a lot. Apparently, there were supposed to be no Jedi robes, and at the start, the like entrance of the park, it says that.
Oh, really?
Like, into Galaxy's Edge. Yeah, well, the article I was reading says it calls that out, but it seemed like they were being a little bit more
lenient,
and the comments that were being made would be like a cast member saying like, "Oh, don't let the First Order catch you wearing that."
Right.
You know, to kind of like put it on like, "Hey, take that off." You know, like,
yeah,
but in a nice way.
We would just laugh that off. We wouldn't care.
So
we don't care what the First Order thinks.
Right. So I think that was kind of something interesting. And I think that's almost a missed opportunity because where else to wear a Star Wars costume than in Galaxy's Edge?
Exactly. This is where I get it for the safety purposes, but it's one of those we are checked in, you know, with their securities. Like they have so many just boundaries, you know, that you can't really cross because of security, which is awesome, which makes me love Disneyland even more in the world that we live in today. But when you think about like, hey, if I can purchase this whole getup here, why can't I just go put it on and wear it here and make it look that much cooler? But then you got the whole, what if somebody asks you a question? What if they expect you to be in character and you're not in character? You're just a regular person saying, hey, everyone, this is my Instagram. Then it takes you out.
Or you show up as Kylo Ren and then they're Kylo Ren.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I get that whole thing, too, you know, and then no masks. So that should never be a line that is crossed.
But I think with like the Jedi tunics, especially like that should be allowed. Otherwise, why are you selling them in there?
They're just money because I know we'll buy them. And they do look pretty legit. If ever a place to buy a full costume and not have to make your own, you want to do it in Batuu.
Oh, I'm going to.
Mm-hmm.
For 100%.
Yeah, I want the Leia dress.
Oh, yeah, I would suggest that you get that.
Yeah, unlike the other Leia dress that I have that is this...
Had.
Oh yeah, had somebody.
You let a guy.
I let a dude wear it for a funny joke, and then he never gave it back.
Right. Rude. Well, he probably stretched it out.
Yeah, I probably didn't want that back anyway.
Probably not. But yeah, I would say that was kind of the only other criticism. But yeah, it was everything that I expected and more in terms of the immersion, in terms of the attention to detail. But I'm with you. I think maybe a little bit more interaction. But keep in mind, we were there day one, minute one.
Minute one, yes.
So I know things got better as they progressed.
I'm hoping that the training maybe happened a little bit more for the cast members. You can tell that they were very stressed.
Overwhelmed.
Very overwhelmed. They were worried immediately when you asked them a question as if they were going to give you the wrong answer. Some of them were kind of rude about answering things as well. And it's kind of, I think that's just where their mind took them to not give you the wrong one. They were just kind of rude with you, like,
yeah,
just too quick. I think it was it, once again, we were the first group. I'm hoping that everybody else had better experiences when asking cast members things. Just remember that if for some reason you are a cast member listening to this, it's very simple to say, I can find out for you.
Yeah.
With a smile on your face. Yeah. Or,
hey, I don't want to give you the wrong information, so give me a minute and I will
let me go ask the resistance. Let me go ask, you know, my imperial officer.
Yeah, you could stay in character.
Like, it's very easy to do those things. I just think everybody was super on edge.
Yeah.
Just, oh, it's a tier. We're doing this.
Well, and I think it's tough because we know that Star Wars fans, you know, we can be just mental. Like, that's part of it. And
yeah,
if we ask a cast member a question and they don't know the answer, I think the fear is that Star Wars fans are going to be like, why are you even working here then? You don't know.
Yeah.
You know, and no, that's not. We're asking the
question. And then don't be those people either. On the other hand, don't be that person.
Yeah.
You know, let's all just be kind and courteous to each other. That's kind of the big rule of thumb in life. So when you're going to Batu, still pay respects and be nice to people, because that doesn't change just because you're on a different planet or just because you're paying money. Yes, it's a lot of money, but just because you're doing it does not mean that you deserve to treat anybody like crap.
Exactly.
There's plenty of cast members who saved the bad ones where we did ask them a question and they didn't know. And then they would kind of laugh it off and realize like, oh, hey, yeah, you can do that. You know? And they realized like, oh, I didn't know, but we all figured it out together. It's like, yeah,
that's
we're
fine.
Here with
I'm
you.
Good.
We're all learning together. It's cool. I'm not going to give you a bad Yelp review.
Yeah, right.
You're fine. Anywho, so just be nice, guys.
Right. Perfect. So let's jump into the final segment here.
Oh, how did you not mention the Coca-Cola bottles?
Well, I was trying to avoid that because that would be another hour-long episode.
We're not going to talk an hour on these.
No. Okay. So the Coca-Cola bottles, which I know everybody saw online because they had kind of leaked. There was like a commercial for the thermal detonator styled Coca-Cola bottles. What was really cool about these is they were written in Arabesque, so you could see the lettering, and it actually spells out Coca-Cola and Sprite and
Very
Diet Coke
cool.
and Dasani. So that was awesome. I thoroughly enjoyed that. I don't know if I've mentioned it on the show before, but I am an employee of Coca-Cola.
So
this is
know.
Not me being a shill or trying to like promote my own my company that I work for. But they are incredibly awesome. They are like 13.5-ounce bottles.
Oh, they are the star of the whole planet.
Yeah.
I think everybody has talked about them.
Absolutely.
Which is funny because it's not like it's a new design.
No, and I was going to get to that. So the problem with that is these are repurposed Christmas bottles
mm-hmm.
that we had released a couple years ago.
Or maybe Disney noticed them and were like, we're doing this.
Having worked for Coca-Cola, we would have pitched it to them. Like,
yeah.
They would have said, what do you have? And we would have been like, we have these.
We can do this.
And that's what they would have done. Because they wouldn't have wanted to go glass, because glass bottles would have been a health hazard, because obviously somebody
yeah,
could
you
cut
can't.
Somebody with it. They weren't going to want to go with the basic 20-ounce bottles. The only other thing that I could see them possibly have gone with was like the aluminum bottles that we did a couple years
yeah,
back.
Yeah, that would have been cool.
I could have seen those, but still, I feel like
scrap
that would have
metal.
Felt too... Well, it still would have felt too regular, because people had seen those. Whereas with the Christmas bulbs, the ornament bulbs, those were really only a short run.
Yeah,
we did like
it was
maybe
that
in
one holiday season, right?
Yeah, I haven't seen them for a couple years now. So it was repurposed those. So obviously I knew that immediately,
yes.
But that did not deter us from still buying a
yep.
Coke and a Sprite
yep.
and drinking that Coke and the Sprite and then still saving the bottles.
Oh yeah,
because they
saving
are
them.
Awesome,
and we will still go back and get them again.
Absolutely. So
they are $5.50 though, so it is kind of a lot.
Yeah.
But I mean, everything's more expensive in Disney,
especially Galaxy's Edge.
Yep. You're spending those Batuu credits.
You have to. Otherwise, what are you there for?
That's something that's also very fun. All the lingo, which you talked about like the bright suns and the rising moons. There's a whole list. I'll have to try to find it and I'll post it for you guys of all of the different sayings that they use in the planet. And it's really awesome because everything has a name. Your phone is a data pad or
it's
a
like
data pad.
Up the spire or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, they call all of their ATMs.
Droids.
Yeah, or yeah, something with the spire.
Yeah.
Yeah, all the ATMs are droids, like when you go to swipe your credit or
credits.
Your credentials, I think is your AP. I think there's a different name for both.
Do you have credentials?
Yes.
Okay. It'll be very 2703 fun. Credits.
Yeah. And then use it on our droid, please, or something like that. It's very cool. So they've really thought about it. They have immersed us in with the lingo and the cast members are doing really well with that.
Yeah.
So cool. More positives.
Very cool. All right, we'll take a quick break and we'll come back with a Fire When Ready. So I hope you guys are ready for this because I know we are.
All right, Fire When Ready.
All right, perfect. So it wouldn't be me on an episode unless I had to bring Marvel into this somehow. So,
oh, no.
But this was actually a question that somebody had asked me in the parks, and I wish I could remember who asked me. It was either your cousin or it was Patrick. But how much does Disney have to put into the Marvel land to keep up with what we've now just experienced in Galaxy's Edge?
Not much.
You don't think so?
No. I don't think the expectations are the same for a Star Wars land versus a Marvel land. And I don't know if that's because the fans are different or if it's just one of those things where, as silly as this sounds, and I know superheroes don't exist, guys, but I'm going to sound really naive right now. It would feel more like they could exist in our world.
Right, right.
You know, like it's easier to make it believable.
You don't have to feel like you're transporting people to a whole nother world.
Yeah.
It's just, hey, here's some superheroes. And
superheroes exist here.
Well, it's like as you're walking down Buena Vista Street to get to like the Hollywood Sunset Boulevard area at the end there in for the Hollywood land. As soon as you hear the superhero music play, as you come up to like the meet and greets for Spider-Man and Captain America, you immediately feel like you're in superhero world
land.
Or whatever anyways.
Superhero HQ, I don't know what they're going
to
call it.
But that's what I thought was really interesting is like that's literally just two meet and greets and then you look down the way and you go, oh, and then there's Mission Breakout. So I'm with you. I don't think there's a whole lot that needs to be done. I think it's just getting the little things right, like having the characters out and about, the meet and greets, having it so...
I think it's going to rest more on the rides. I think the rides have to be epic.
I think the queues as well need to be immersive. I would really like to see them utilize a lot of what they used in the queues for when it was Superhero HQ over in Tomorrowland.
Oh, totally.
Where it's like, hey, here's a bunch of props from Thor the Dark World. Hey, here's a bunch of stuff from Captain America.
Hope they bring back Iron Man's suit of armor.
Yeah.
You know, like, bring that back. I will be so stoked. I know everybody else would be. Just things like that. But like I said, it's more believable to exist in our world as to where Star Wars is not at all.
No, for sure.
So they did what they needed to do for Star Wars Land, and it paid off. It's amazing. I think people who aren't even Star Wars fans are going to feel like they're off in another planet, that, you know, it's a whole new experience, because what Disney does well are the details.
Yeah.
They are really great about doing things like that. But it's the same as just what, years ago when Cars Land opened, and we're walking down, you know, Radiator Springs or Ornament Valley. And it's amazing.
Yeah.
You feel like you are in that film. It makes you appreciate that movie even more.
Even Bugs Land.
Even Bugs Land.
It was great.
You felt like you were a bug when you saw those huge four-leaf clovers or just clovers around you. So they're great at all those details and making you feel like you are part of something. I think, of course, Star Wars Land is something that nobody thought was ever possible.
Yeah.
And the fact that we are, 40 years later and we get a land for a movie that is still being talked about and we're still getting other trilogies because of it, and there's no slowdown in sight. You had to go big or go home with Star Wars Land. As with Marvel, you still have to do that, and you still have to give that appreciation to those fans as well. But we already know Disney could do that. Disney could do this before Star Wars Land.
Well, and do you think that they've earned enough goodwill with Mission Breakout where you're almost like, I mean, whatever else comes is just cherry on top. Like, we already have this ride, which you and I got to go on last year.
Yes.
And loved it. Like, we loved Tower of Terror. We loved that as a ride, which is interesting because you
hate...
One
of our favorites.
You hate elevators. So it's interesting this ride...
Not a huge fan of elevators, but I think with elevators, I feel like... Again, it's real life. And anything can happen on an elevator, which I know anything can happen on a ride, which is even worse. But at least I'm buckled in and I'm with a bunch of other people who were having a good time. So if I'm going to go, having at least we're having time. A good time.
No, that's good. But that's what I think. It was like what we've seen them do with this overhaul with Mission Breakout. It's kind of like, oh, we're getting a Spider-Man ride. Oh, we might be getting an Ant-Man experience or Doctor Strange stage show or
Avengers ride.
Yeah, an Avengers ride. Like all of that, I'm like, just give it to me. I don't even care.
I don't even care what it is.
Like, we already talked about how Smuggler's Run is basically a retooled version of Star Tours,
but
and
still
I still
pumped.
Loved it. Like, it's just, it's something else to whet the palate of our fandom.
Exactly. So I don't think, like, to answer that question, they're going to have to do much with Marvel Land, but I know they will because Disney does not let us down in any sort of the way.
Yeah.
And I don't think it'll be the reception as with Star Wars Land. Obviously, you're going to have people from so many decades. I mean, yeah, comic book reading wise, yes, people have always loved comics, but I think what this land is going to cover, which is mostly this MCU phase that has brought on so many more people, I think it's going to like dive heavy into that.
Yeah.
To where, yes, if you're a comic book fan, you are going to want to appreciate this land. But I think if you're an MCU fan, you're probably going to want to be there more. As where with Star Wars, it's going all the way back to A New Hope.
Well, and you got to figure too, like for Star Wars fans, I could see Star Wars fans that are not fans of amusement parks going to Galaxy's Edge because it's Star Wars.
Yep, exactly.
Whereas, like, if I'm a comic book fan, but I don't like amusement parks, I don't see myself being like, oh, they built a Spider-Man ride? I'm going to go to Disney. They're going to be like, oh, I still don't like amusement parks.
Because you would have went to Universal.
Universal, exactly. So I don't think it has that same gravity behind it that it needs to appeal at such a high level. But I do still think they need to get it right.
And they will. I have all the faith in, because of Batu, there's no way they're letting us down with Marvel Land. If they do it right with the whole reservation process, I know it won't be as big of a numbers as Star Wars Land, but if they do it right in that sense, we'll be golden because they got it down with the reservation. So way to go, Disney.
We just got to make friends with somebody so we can do it in like preview week before they open it
up. Yeah, we need
public.
A cast member friend.
Somebody help.
Put us on your list. No, but I think they're only allowed to bring in one person or something.
Well, they can take you this
time.
Yeah,
I deserve it. Except for you're the huge Marvel head over here.
This is true. I am. Nice. So anything else to report on today's episode?
Oh, I'm sure we can keep going forever, but if you have questions about Galaxy's Edge, let us know. If you're worried about your reservation in any way, remember that the reservations go until June 23rd.
Yep.
And after that, it is subject to capacity starting June 24th. So when you do go, oh, I don't think this is something we mentioned on the show, but we have talked about in person. So just in case we missed this and you haven't heard this, after these reservation periods, you go to June 24th and it's open to the public. They're doing a reservation queue. So you would get in and say that it's at capacity when you get to Galaxy's Edge. Yes, they will turn you away, but they will tell you, hey, go onto our app. It's kind of like a Fast Pass type thing or Max Pass, but you don't need Max Pass. You would go on and you would say, I want to go into Galaxy's Edge. What is the next time slot that I'm allowed to come in? They will give you a time slot whenever that may be. And I don't know. It could be hours. It could be minutes. Who knows? You put in your reservation and all the people that are with you in your party. And then you get to go enjoy the rest of Disneyland. You don't have to wait in a line for 3 hours just to get into the land because it's at capacity. So I think what they're going to do is keep it pretty limited on who's in there because they want people to enjoy it. So I don't think you really have to worry as much as we're really scared of how
crowded it's going to be. Yes, Disneyland is going to be more crowded.
Of course.
But I don't think they're going to let the land itself be overwhelming because they want great reviews. Remember that Disney needs great reviews after putting in a 14-acre land and getting their money's worth. They need people to come back to this
billion
place.
Dollar expansion.
They don't want people waiting 5 to 10 years to visit because they're waiting for the crowds to die down. They want you to go back. They want us to come back on our show. They want people to go back on their YouTube channels, whatever it may be, and say that it's not going to be chaos. You'll be okay. So this reservation thing, it worked out so far, and I think it's going to be really great once the land opens. So if you want to go, go. Don't wait. Just go.
100%.
If you can afford it.
Of course. Of course. Nice. Well, I think that's all we've got for you guys on this episode. BMO, where can they find you?
I'm at Citizen of Disney.
As always, you can find me at Liam Bright. You can follow the show at Hilt Radio, H-Y-L-T Radio on Twitter and Instagram. Or if you want to email us, if it's something that's not something that you particularly want to post, like maybe a question or a spoiler for something, feel free to email us at just hiltradio@gmail.com.
Awesome.
But that's all for this episode. We appreciate your time, and hopefully for those that got to experience Galaxy Edge, hopefully you had as exciting time as we did. Please feel free to comment on the post for this episode and let us know what your experience was, and we will give you a shout out on the next episode. But we will talk to you guys later on, or I guess early next week. But as always, until then, try to make the world a better place.
Need even more Disney, Marvel, and Star Wars in your life? Be sure to visit our website at HiltRadio.com for more magic like our blogs, videos, merch, and access to our archive of episodes. That's HYLTRadio.com. See you real soon.